Let's pray together. We thank you for the joy from which music springs. We know that, for your word has told us, that we are not to be filled with wine, which can lead to debauchery. Rather, we are to be filled, intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, which rather than leading to debauchery, leads to joy and singing and music. We thank you that your Son came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And it's in that precious name we pray. Amen. Speaking of music, did any of you hear this week of a little boy named Ronan Martin? Ronan Martin was a 9-year-old boy, and this past week, lives in New Hampshire, his grandfather took this 9-year-old boy to Boston, to the Boston Symphony, and they heard Mozart's Masonic funeral. And at the end of it, if you haven't heard of it, just get online and listen. At the end of this wonderful concert, this little 9-year-old boy yells out, "Wow!" The amazing thing of the story is not that a little 9-year-old cried out, but it was in particular that Ronan is a 9-year-old little fellow who's had autism. And his parents say that they can count on one hand the number of times he's expressed himself at all. Music has this way of touching us. I understand that when I preach, nobody cries. I've never preached and anyone started shedding tears. I mean, maybe if it goes too long. But I do know that I've been in funerals and services, and they don't cry when I preach. They don't cry during the passing of the plate. Rarely do they cry when the scripture is read. But I've seen tears shed when Amazing Grace is sung. I've seen tears shed when It Is Well With My Soul is sung. I've seen tears shed when How Great Thou Art, or In the Garden, or America the Beautiful. Music has this way of bringing out the best. We have been blessed by John Williams as our minister of music, a job he never sought. It sought him, and Andrew Foster, a vocation he's hoping to do forever. And just watching the joy on Andrew's face as he leads, his joy is infectious. Mona will be joining us in bringing joy. Very talented musicians. But let me ask you a simple question. Who did you first sing with? A professional musician? Now, the Williams grandchildren did. But for most of us, who was the first person that taught us how to sing? Mom. I still can't see a train without hearing my mother's voice singing about a little red caboose, or caboose, boose, boose. I love to watch my granddaughters being taught to sing by my daughter. We learn to sing at our mothers. Now, let's pull this all together and look at Acts 9. We've got a woman that is an interesting woman. It's interesting to me that the most well-known story in Acts and the least well-known story in Acts are in the same chapter. We all know the beginning of Acts 9 with the walk to Damascus that the Christian killing, hating Saul had, and he was literally attacked by the presence of Jesus Christ, and he was converted to Paul. Very few of us, until this morning, would know about another disciple. But she also taught people how to sing. Her name was Tabitha. Her Aramaic name was Tabitha. Her Greek name was Dorcas. And she was a wonderful person. I don't know if you know of anyone named Tabitha. You may. Very few of you probably know of anyone named Dorcas. But both of those mean gazelle. Gazelle. Well, I looked up what a gazelle was. And a gazelle is a beautiful, small, spry, joyful animal. But I was also interested to learn that the picture of a gazelle was so symbolic of love and joyful love giving that in the Arabic poetry, they created the name love from the animal of a gazelle. You ever seen someone whose joy just inspired you? Dorcas was one of those people. Let's look at the passage. It says it's set in the city of Joppa. You may remember Joppa. Joppa was where Jonah went when he sailed forth to take the gospel. So this is where Peter, the son of Jonah, is preaching the gospel, and it begins with this woman named Dorcas. And we learn that she was a pillar of the church. A pillar of the church. Not a pastor, not someone famous, not someone well-trained, probably someone like our mothers. Just a Dorcas. And look what it says about her. The first thing it says about her, she was a tireless worker. She was renowned for her good works. She was a maker of fine garments. And actually, in the Greek, it says that they showed her, or they were in the process of showing her the clothing that they were wearing. So here they are, and a woman has passed away, and they are literally wearing her garments. And Peter, before he seeks to her needs and raises her from the dead, they admire it. You've done that, haven't you? You've been to funerals. You've been to people's homes. You've looked and you've admired their handiwork. Now I want to take a moment. You're going to help me preach this sermon. Okay? I want you and your mom, for you, it may be your actual biological mother. It may be a woman who was well placed in your life. I want you in your mind right now to ponder her handiwork. Maybe a pie. Maybe a piece of music. Maybe a garment. Maybe kind words. We give you thanks, our Father, for the gifts that you have given us. People that have helped us sing. People that have helped us love. People who have given us joy. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The second thing we see about Dorcas is she acted out of love, or these charitable gifts. And the word here for love means the desire to be a benefactor. A benefactor is someone who works for someone else's benefit. It's a love that serves. Have you known Dorcases in the church that would never get up and preach, but they're working behind the scenes? Do you want to see Dorcases? Each one of you, look to the side. Our church is full of Dorcases, and what would the male form of Dorcas be? Dorks. We're full of Dorks and Dorcases. And we should be. For Jesus said, or Paul said about Jesus, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider being the privileges of God, he didn't consider that something to be grasped. so he could empty himself of those privileges to come and to serve us. The epitome of which was on John 13, the night in which he was betrayed. He took a robe and a towel and he bowed down and he washed feet, including the feet of his enemy, the one who would betray him, and that is Judas. We will probably never do something that dramatic. But I did read this past week of a gentleman that was talking about his growing up, Rick Bragg, in the Atlanta area, and he said he just was convinced that his mother loved chicken necks. And he said, growing up, he wondered why his mother loved chicken necks. And when Rick had gotten some notoriety and some money, he took her to a restaurant and he wanted to order chicken necks. And he learned that she did not like eating that part of the chicken, but she had done it to serve her family growing up. That's what we did. That's what Dorcas does. But the main thing I want to get to, other than her acts of service, other than her love, she was a prayer. We see the picture here that this whole community are not just praying individually. I hope you do pray individually, but we pray as one. I was in Florida this past week, but I was also here. We were praying together, and Dorcas was praying. She has people around her. These widows were interceding on her behalf. So let me ask, are you a Dorcas in that way? Do you intercede on people's behalf? I love to see this church work, because I see you doing that. Now, this isn't about us. This is somewhere else, I guess. But there may be a situation where people will talk about others, but they don't talk to God about others. They talk to others about others. You ever envision that? It's called gossip. And what Dorcas did, she was too busy to do that. It's hard to rock the boat when you're in the midst of rowing it. And Dorcas, she was in the midst of good works, and she was in the midst of loving acts, and she was in the midst of prayer. She prayed. See, Dorcas is for all of those ordinary saints. Would any of you consider yourself an extraordinary Christian? No. So we all qualify to be a Dorcas. We can all smile. We can all share Jesus. We can talk to people in prayer. We can ask God to bless people. I don't have her permission to share it, so I won't tell you who it is. But I was having a conversation with someone in our congregation, and they said that when we come up to take communion, that she offers a prayer for each person as they're receiving the body and the blood. She's a Dorcas. You can do that for everyone you see, and you will teach them how to sing. See, you have heard it said that the hand who rocks the cradle does what? Rules the world. You ever thought about that? When that mother is rocking the cradle, what is she also doing? Singing. She's singing. And what does she sing? Well, let's look at maybe one of the best mothers. And if not the best mother, she certainly had the best son. And it's that virgin who is the mother to our Lord. And this is what she sang. It may be our song as well. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from the thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now, your mother probably didn't wax that eloquently in the Magnificat, but she taught you a song that's just as beautiful. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That will be the song we'll sing for all eternity. Amen.